Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In Russia, the verdict is expected tomorrow in the trial of three members of the punk protest group Pussy Riot. Three women are being prosecuted for, quote, hooliganism on the grounds of religious hatred, unquote, following a punk rock performance that they staged at Moscow's Christ the Savior Cathedral, and could face a sentence of 3 years at a labor camp for each member of the group. Joining me now is Nina Khrushcheva, professor in the International Affairs Program at the New School and senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
And from Moscow, we have Masha Lipman, editor of the Pro et Contra Journal, published by Carnegie Moscow Center and a contributor to The New Yorker. She's been writing about the trial for them. Hello from New York, Masha.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me.
And Masha Lipman, one of the pieces you wrote for The New Yorker ran with the headline, "The Absurd and Outrageous Trial of Pussy Riot." Give us the one-minute distilled version of how this trial has been unfolding and what the charges actually are based on.
Judge was based on the performance, the radical contemporary art performance in Christ the Savior Cathedral, in which the women tried to sing a what they call a punk prayer called Mother of Lord, Chase Putin Out. They only spent there less than 1 minute, and then they produced a clip based on that footage. And for that, they've been kept in pretrial detention for over 5 months, and tomorrow a verdict is expected for this crime, which was described in by the official charge as hooliganism aggravated by inciting religious hatred. But in fact, the trial was a combination of something, a Kafkaesque trial, very cruel, a grueling marathon, sessions lasting for 10 or 11 hours. And the language of the actual prosecution was more reminiscent of something of an inquisitional tribunal, with language such as blasphemy and sacrilege and offending religious believers' feelings and such like.
And Masha, what's the feeling like in Moscow and elsewhere in Russia around this trial? Do people buy the hooliganism or incitement to hate charge, or are people outraged that this is a trial on the grounds of suppressing free speech?
The main thing is the trial has attracted tremendous attention, and I can't recall a single episode in recent Russian history which would have generated just such attention, such interest inside Russia and outside, and such heated debates about all kinds of questions under the sun: relations between church and state, judiciary and its role, relations between religious believers and the secular, and the list can go actually endlessly. As to the act itself, there are very, very few in Russia who would actually approve of it and regard it as an act of contemporary art, an artistic provocation, and say that this was a good idea. But when the actual focus has shifted recently away from the act that most people disapprove of and to the actual treatment and to this total degradation of the judiciary that the trial has demonstrated. The society is still split, but the shift is toward lenience. Today, about 15% of Russians say that Pussy Riot women do not deserve any punishment at all, with over 40 believing that the punishment of 2 to 7 years that the article of the law implies is too harsh. Those who believe that it would be adequate amount to over 30%.
Nina, could you tell us more about this collective known as Pussy Riot? They've been described as anti-authoritarian and feminist. Now they're described as anti-religion in this case. Aside from the fact that their name forces modest public radio hosts to say the P word over and over again, what do they want?
Well, like everybody, when they spoke out in the winter against Vladimir Putin and his third presidential term in office, actually his 12th year in office, like everybody else, they wanted to bring attention of the Russians that it is way too many, that that Russian democracy deserves some sort of choice, and they chose a feminist protest, and they chose artistic way of expressing it, exactly the way Russia has been doing it for centuries, and certainly through the 20th century. And I think that's why this trial is so. Captured so much of the world and Russian imagination, because it's very reminiscent of previous prisoners of conscience and dissidentship and whatnot. But there is a whole number of these women. In fact, actually only three are being prosecuted, but two others are at large, actually. They disappear. They don't show their faces and whatnot. I think they were recently interviewed by The Guardian, but it's a very, very rare instance when they give an interview to foreign places. But it's all against Vladimir Putin's reign.
I want to play a few seconds of the song in question, one of their songs so for people who are not familiar with this music, now this is in Russian, but I'll ask you to translate, Nina, and just again so people can get an idea of the sound. And the title of this song is Hail Mary, Kick Putin Out. So 35 seconds of the song that they were performing in the cathedral that got them into all this trouble, translated into English as Hail Mary, Kick Putin Out. What else was in there, Nina?
Well, it says Hail Mary, Kick Putin Out, and actually does in a very sort of religious anthem playing way, and then it turns into hard rock, as you notice, and it does say that with a black soul and with the golden epaulets the constituents, the religious constituents, they really all sold into sort of the Putin system, and Mary should get rid of it. I personally, whether you like it or not, I personally argue artistic freedom. The fact that people don't like what they sing, you know, we not necessarily people like the Dr. Zhivago by Boris Pasternak when it was written, but
we're talking about people possibly going to prison.
Exactly.
Whether we like it or not, whether it's even anti-religion or not. But my understanding, Masha, is that the judge in this trial has refused to even hear arguments that this is a song of political protest. Is that correct?
Absolutely. In fact, the trial itself has been an egregious violation of every possible procedure in law. And the judge wouldn't even conceal her bias. The defense, for example, wanted to call 17 witnesses, but only three were allowed to talk. And it turned out, even during the hearing, that some of the witnesses were waiting outside, but the court marshals had orders from the judge herself, as court marshals admitted, not to let them into the building. This way, the judge managed not to hear even those who were called and arrived. Using such really brutal and rough ways. It was also, question dismissed was the most common phrase that we heard from the judge whenever it was the defense or the defendants themselves who wanted to ask a question. The atmosphere at the trial was that of bad neighbors fight. Every once in a while, the lawyers and the judge were yelling at each other. Lawyers apparently totally exasperated by the impossibly rude treatment by the judge. It was clear that the judge was under pressure to wrap it up as soon as possible.
So as we're under pressure to wrap this up as soon as possible because we're running out of time, the big picture cultural subtext here, you wrote for The New Yorker, Masha, that the prosecution of these women is a sign that the Russian state is increasingly lashing out against those citizens it sees as overly modernized, even though Putin often says that one of his main goals is modernization. How do you understand this?
Well, actually, we've heard very little from Putin about modernization lately, and it seems like one of the approaches he uses against the protesters and their sympathizers is to capitalize on the polarization of the Russian society and to sit the more conservative and more traditional Russians against the more modernized, a tactics that may actually work, but is very dangerous.
Why did they do this in the church, Nina?
Because they wanted the most attention. They really know that because in Russia there is a separation of church and state, but Putin has been very, very open about his religious beliefs, and they really wanted, they did it brilliantly. If it were not in a Russian very backward conservative country, it brought exactly the results that they wanted. Unfortunately, they went to prison for it.
The verdict is expected tomorrow. Nina, is there any doubt in your mind how this will come down?
I think they're going to be charged. I think they're going to be sentenced. However, I think Putin is in a huge bind. He would be so much better off to let them go and forgive them.
Putin is in a huge bind. Masha, do you think this is up to Putin? Does he have the judge's ear in a direct sort of way?
There's no doubt that because the case has reached just such immense proportion that Putin will have a final say, and the verdict in this trial will be reached in an extra-legal fashion outside this courtroom. In fact, Putin was asked about the case just very recently in London, and he said that though the act committed by the women was bad, he thought they deserved a lenient punishment. And I think this can be taken as a signal to the court. The speculations circulate in Moscow, and it is expected that acquittal, of course, is out of the question, but the punishment can be lenient. It can be suspended, they can be allowed to go on parole, but they will be convicted. The act will be seen by the court, by the judge, as a crime.
Free speech, rock and roll, modernity itself on trial in Russia right now. We thank Nina Khrushcheva, professor in the International Affairs Program at the New School, senior fellow at the World Policy Institute, and Masha Lipman in Moscow, editor of the Pro et Contra Journal, published by the Carnegie Moscow Center and a contributor to The New Yorker. And by the way, folks, somebody posted a comment on our website because we know so many New Yorkers are actually interested in this case and following this case. With a few events supporting the band around New York City. So if you want to check out that comment from one of our listeners, you can see it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Nina, Masha, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next are internships, a new American class divide. Stay tuned.